Previously on We Live Here,
I said, Lord, I don't want to be nowhere where folks don't want black folks.
I got pushed out for what? No reason, you know, trying to protect myself.
Where you see these ordinances is in towns that are struggling with the growing pains of integration.
Hi guys, it's me, Camille.
And me, Tim. And we're interrupting our normal storytelling podcast to bring you some
breaking news.
Breaking news. Do you feel like there should be like one of those swoosh things? You know what I'm talking about? Like cable news does it all the time.
I don't feel like we need that. And in fact, we don't have a swoosh, but we do have this.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion will be moved.
Welcome, everyone, to Maplewood City Hall. It's where we were a couple of nights ago for what we promise is a big deal.
Because that little bit of procedural tape from Maplewood, Missouri's City Council meeting signals the beginning of the end for a legal saga we told you about earlier this season.
First, if you haven't already, make sure you listen to two shows we did called Nuisance or Nonsense. We started our fourth season with those episodes. And these shows were all about Maplewood, where housing advocates say a public nuisance law has been weaponized against poor people, people of color,
and people like Rosetta Watson, a domestic violence survivor who was kicked out of Maplewood after city officials said she called for help too many times.
Watson sued the city, and her legal battle has gone on for more than a year. But what you heard is the sound of Miss Watson's victory.
At their city council meeting this week, the city of Maplewood announced and voted to move forward with a six-figure settlement with Miss Watson, and the town plans to change the nuisance ordinance.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about this.
This is Tony Rothert, legal director of the ACLU of Missouri, which represented Miss Watson.
We do litigation against cities all the time. It's hard to get them to change. And I think a lot of things came together in this case.
So on today's episode, an episode we've literally put together in the past 24 hours, we will break down this breaking news for you guys and figure out where things go next.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum. The settlement Ms. Watson reached with the city stipulates that calls for police service can't be cited as proof a victim of a crime is a public nuisance.
It also calls for training for a range of city workers, including police, to understand how their actions could be used to label a victim of crime a public nuisance. And Ms. Watson will get close to $140,000.
Her lawyer, Tony Rothert of the ACLU, says none of this would have happened if Ms. Watson hadn't been willing to put herself on the line and take Maplewood to court.
The financial part of the settlement was, I think, has a chance to have a great effect on her life in a positive way. However, what she cared most about from the beginning to the end is trying to make Maplewood and the country and the world a better place for people who face domestic violence like she faced.
And Ms. Watson has faced quite a bit. In fact, her move to Maplewood 8 years ago was at first a fresh start.
Miss Watson was in an abusive relationship for years while living in the city of St. Louis. And when she moved to the suburbs, she thought she'd found a slower pace of life and, in the beginning, a safe place to live.
And when I moved to Maplewood, I didn't think I had to look over my shoulder.
Watson worked nights doing factory work for a temp service, and she was happy in her new home.
It was perfect for me, being a senior citizen. All electric. I mean, the peoples were nice. Okay, they were friendly. I got a basket, or what they call it, a welcome basket. Yes, you know. And when they saw you new to the neighborhood, they introduced themselves and, you know, all that. I mean, it was something I could deal with. I wasn't worried about nothing at all.
But the abuse Watson had fought to escape would come back into her life when her ex-boyfriend was released from jail.
And I heard a boom. You know, so I didn't think nothing of it. So I laid on back down. I heard another boom. Didn't think nothing of it. Then I heard my door come in. And I jumped up and I ran out the apartment, ran down the hall to the apartment down, the one, the tenants down there, and didn't know anyone in the building. I was there. I was there and didn't know anyone. But she let me in. I called 911. The woman told me to stay there until the police get there. And she gave me something to put on because I only had a T-shirt on. And when the police got there, they knocked on her door, went down to my apartment, and he was sitting right there waiting on them. They said I was drunk. I just got off work. I'm in somebody else's clothes. In somebody, and I'm trying to, they didn't take him to jail. I went to jail. So I asked him to call a supervisor. I wasn't going anywhere until they called a supervisor. The supervisor told me, if I clown, if I say anything, he said, I'm going to take you to the hospital. I let them hold you for 72 hours, and then I'm going to come and get you and take your ass to jail. Those were his exact words.
Her ex-boyfriend was arrested multiple times for domestic abuse, but he would keep coming back. She kept calling police four times between September 2011 and February 2012.
Meanwhile, unbeknownst to her, the city of Maplewood was keeping a tally. And according to officials, Ms. Watson called for help too many times.
It seemed like I got pushed out for what? No reason, you know, trying to protect myself.
Before we get too much further, it's worth knowing a few key details about how Maplewood set up its nuisance ordinance.
In 2006, Maplewood joined a bunch of other municipalities around the country by putting in place a nuisance ordinance. City officials said they were just looking for a way to deal with problem properties, things like drug dealers or landlords that didn't take care of their homes.
But the way this St. Louis suburb of about 8,000 people wrote its ordinance and the punishment they created for violators set it apart and makes it distinctive and pretty stringent.
And it so happened that we discovered that Maplewood, Missouri has perhaps the worst.
Sasha Sandberg-Champion is a civil rights attorney in Washington, D.C. He tracks these ordinances at the national level.
What Maplewood does is it says if you want to live in Maplewood, you have to get something that it calls an occupancy permit. So you actually have to apply for permission to live there. And then if under its nuisance ordinance, if two or more police calls are associated with you, the town can actually hold a hearing and then revoke your occupancy permit. And that effectively expels you from town.
Miss Watson got caught up in this. Her calls for help were seen as a red flag and eventually landed her in a quasi-judicial proceeding she still has trouble making sense of. This is what she told us about her experience.
So I got a knock at my door and the police officer delivered a yellow envelope to me saying that I have to go before the board or whatever it is. And for what reason, I don't know. But I didn't know I can have a lawyer present. You know, I'm surrounded, just like we are sitting now. I'm sitting here. I'm surrounded by all these people. I'm thinking, you got lawyers. You got the people's, the committee, the boards. You got the police officers. You got the judge sitting at the table. I'm sitting, in, you know, out there. Why come they didn't tell me I can have a lawyer? You know, I don't know. I'm only going by saying yes, sir, no, sir. Because I'm not understanding. No one is telling me, well, you don't have to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate you. I didn't know what was going on. And I get a phone call that said today that I had to be out by the end of that month. I get a check every first of the month. So I told them I can't move until the first of the month. I got up, I packed my little stuff, and I moved it. I put it in storage because I didn't have nowhere to go then at the time. And the police officer called me and asked me, I moved. He asked me where I live at. I didn't think that was in his business. I'm not in your county no more. Even though I have doctors, I have an eye doctor that I see out there. I couldn't come back out there to see Clarkson Eye Vision Center because I'm banded and barred from Maplewood for 6 months. Come on now, where they get that at? I couldn't do anything.
Ms. Watson lost her Section 8 voucher as a result of getting kicked out of Maplewood. Her housing situation has been perilous ever since. For months and months and months, city officials in Maplewood defended their actions and their ordinance.
And the case looked to be headed to trial. Before that, though, a federal judge ordered that both sides get together this summer.
The ACLU got a chance to examine how Maplewood had been using its ordinance for the past several years.
And the city got to depose Ms. Watson about her experience.
At the conclusion of Tuesday's city council meeting, I asked city manager Marty Cochran about Ms. Watson's story.
Did I hear? I can't tell you I heard her whole story, but I heard, at least heard what she had to say in my presence.
Did you believe what she said?
I have no comment on that.
Did this hearing the story personally have an effect on you in any way?
I have no comment on that.
According to Cochran, the settlement reached through a mediator wasn't the results of looking through how the nuisance law was used.
Or whether the ordinance could have a negative effect on people of color, the mentally ill, or victims of domestic abuse. Here's what Cochran says it came down to.
The only thing that changed was a financial decision in terms of what it would cost us to defend.
Maplewood Mayor Barry Greenberg took a decidedly less confrontational tone.
And so I think that the ACLU did a really good job of letting us keep those elements of the ordinance that made sense. And so I was happy to see that. So we can do what the ordinance intends for the city to do. And at the same time, everyone feels now that we can protect people's individual rights.
More on that part of the settlement after this break. Ms. Watson's case is one that has been watched closely, locally and nationally. And as news of the settlement has gotten out in the last several hours, other housing and legal advocates have reacted.
The Metropolitan Equal Housing and Opportunity Council, which had also sued Maplewood over its nuisance ordinance, issued a statement praising the settlement. But EHOC's executive director, Will Jordan, also expressed disappointment that the law wasn't repealed entirely, saying, quote, "We remain concerned that nuisance ordinances disproportionately affect people of color, and we will continue monitoring Maplewood's enforcement of the ordinance for fair housing violations."
Ms. Watson's settlement will make that a little easier, Tony says. For the next 5 years, the ACLU will get access to records on how Maplewood enforces its nuisance law.
You know, it's still a nuisance ordinance, and it still has a potential punishment that could result in an occupancy permit being revoked.
There are going to be more processes in place to make sure crime victims aren't punished for calling for help.
I think most important is that the procedure now, if there is even an effort to take away an occupancy permit because of a nuisance, there is a required inquiry to make sure that it is not a victim of crime whose occupancy permit is being taken away.
Still, there are some caveats. The settlement, though prompted by a judge, is not a legal order or consent decree which would have the heft of court monitoring.
But Tony says resolving the case through a settlement still has benefits.
The judge wasn't going to rewrite the ordinance, even if we won. If we won, it would have been only about money, and that wouldn't have really gotten us what we wanted.
Tony says if future records show the city is still hurting crime victims and women in particular through its nuisance ordinance, the ACLU has a plan.
First, it would work with the city to tweak the ordinance again. And if that didn't work, he says, the organization will sue again.
Ms. Watson's such a... just a great person to have met and has had so many things go wrong for her and to her that I dreaded the prospect that this lawsuit could be something else that goes badly for her. So it's a relief that it's not. And I'm happy that her goal of making things better for people in the future has been achieved, and I'm happy she's getting some money out of it too, in a way that could change her life.
The soonest a final vote on Maplewood's revised nuisance ordinance could come is in about 2 weeks. And if it's approved, it would go into effect in October.
If you live in the St. Louis region or elsewhere and have a story about how nuisance laws have affected your life, go to welivehere.show and click contact. Send us an email about your experience.
Because we are far from done with this story. In the coming days, we'll be looking into how this settlement could or could not affect what's happening beyond Maplewood's borders.
Next time on We Live Here.
Cities who have policies like this now have a model for how they can amend it if they want to do the right thing. And they also have a little bit of fear.
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Alana Sistrunk is our associate producer.
And Robert Peterson is our boss. He's the director of programming here at St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.